Get real advice from renowned experts and entrepreneurs on today's business leaders. Here's your host, Gabe Arnold.
All right, on today's show, I have Nick Peterson. He is the founder of Mastery Mode and has done many, many different entrepreneurial things over the years, and was introduced, as I mentioned, by mutual friend Ross Cristofoli. And we've been in contact over the last couple of years, but finally got the show scheduled. So welcome to the show, Nick.
Yeah, man, appreciate that. And happy to be here. I think I told you this, but anybody that Ross introduces me to is a world-class human. I think we probably went back and forth over the years. And then once Ross made the introduction, I said, should have talked to this guy sooner. So
yeah, thank you. And you said something to me early on in your conversations a few weeks ago that really resonated with me and just really, I knew I was aligned. You said relationships are my currency. And we, you know, you and I were talking about doing a project together that we ended up not doing. And often I think people, you know, in business, you know, when a project doesn't work out or something like that, it can be negative. In this case, it was the whole interaction was incredibly valuable and positive. And I knew because you set that precedence in the beginning, going into it, that whatever we came up with would work out and be a good idea, or we would get value out of it. And so I admire you, that's one of your principles, and that's how you operate.
Yeah, man. Likewise, feel the same way. Yeah, appreciate the same things about that interaction. So
yeah, definitely. So as I always start out, I want to ask you when you first realized that you're an entrepreneur.
Oh, that's a tough one because entrepreneur is such an interesting word. Right. People say it now and the way, you know, you develop these filters where people say one thing and you go, oh, you actually mean another thing. Some people say I'm an entrepreneur, like on the internet and, you know, random people you meet. What I interpret is like, oh, you have a problem with authority. That's, you know what I mean? So by the actual definition of entrepreneur, which is somebody that takes on an unusual amount of risk, that has been apparent from a very young age. It was probably, I was 20. So I had a business partner when I was 20. He gave me half of his business, but I didn't have my own thing until I was 21. It was on my 21st birthday. And it was probably then when I realized something is wrong with me, because everybody that cares about me that is really smart, like the people that I respect and you know, they are educated or, you know, successful, said, this is a really bad idea. And here's all the reasons it's a bad idea. And I said, okay, noted. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so it was my 21st birthday that it just so happened that, you know, when all the paperwork came through and the lease and everything, it just happened to be on my birthday. And it was probably then when it was like, yeah, I'm not going to fit convention. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, been a series of, just to share this with anybody that's entrepreneurial, it's been a series of, over the last 10 years, our series of finding, you know, how much risk is too much risk? What is appropriate? When am I being when am I being an idiot? And when is it appropriate? And, you know, always trying to find that line, but it was the day I opened my first business against everybody else's counsel.
What happened with what type of business was that, and what happened with
it? It was a gym, and here's how I knew I was an entrepreneur after that. Entrepreneur, but by my definition, because a lot of people say I want to be an entrepreneur, they say it in a lot of different words, right? And I'm just going to preface with this: a lot of people say I want to be an entrepreneur, but also I want you to give me a step by step guide, and I want you to guarantee that I'm going to make money. That's a job, right? You're not an entrepreneur if you want a step-by-step guide to follow, and then you want to be told you're doing it wrong and then get paid. Like, that's what a job is.
Yeah.
So I spent the next 4 years, it was a warehouse, it was a gym in Florida, and it was in a warehouse. I spent the next 4 years sleeping on the gym floor and never had a problem. I never considered doing something different. Mm-hmm. So I did that. During that time, I went pro and strongman in 2011, and I totally elite in two weight classes and powerlifting. And it was all about, you know, getting stronger because I'm a gym owner and yada, yada, yada. And then I got injured. I tore both pecs. I tore both hamstrings. I tore my left adductor and I was 25 and I was like crippled. I couldn't do anything. So I'm looking around and I got this gym and I got some very affluent clients that thought like the hardcore aspect of what I was doing was cool. I was like, I should probably learn how to make money. Cause that's the other thing entrepreneurs get pretty good at, right?
Yeah.
And then I have something to show for this other than like the fact that I'm crippled. So I just focused on like, okay, I'm going to actually have these affluent people here in my gym already. And these are people that, you know, people watching that we would pay $50,000 a year to be in contact with, and they're paying me to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And that clicked. And I just said, I'm going to spend time with just these people, all the power lifters, all the strongmen. I kicked them all out. I kind of let them phase out. And I just started spending a lot of time with these successful people. And, you know, I spent a lot of time. I was like, okay, what will get them to come here more? How can I spend more time with them? And I started doing stuff, just events. I was just trying to get time with them. That was really all I was trying to do. And I realized if I just kept making it more expensive and I kept doing stuff for these people and I kept making it exclusive, it attracted more of this kind of person. So I had one bay. It was like a strip mall. I had one bay, a little 1,200 square foot bay. And within a year, we had knocked down 1, 2, 3 walls. So I had 4 bays and it was packed. I was on a wait list. Wasn't doing any like advertising or marketing intentionally. It was just spending time with people. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. I learned so much, but that was probably the next 2 years. Was the question was, how can I attract more of these kind of people? The byproduct was raising the price, building this exclusivity, changing my language, you know, having hours that were super exclusive. But I never went out and said, I'm going to raise my price. It was like backing into, how do I attract more of these people? Mm-hmm. Oh, they go to yacht clubs because nobody else can afford it. So I got to make this thing something nobody else can afford.
Yeah.
And you obviously learned a lot that I didn't realize I learned that till later. Mm-hmm. But we did that, and from there spun out a separate company. So nutrition company still does really, really well. I think they probably did 5 million last year. And just from there I did another thing, and from there I did another thing, and from there I did another thing. But that was the spent 4 years sleeping on the gym floor in Florida where it's really hot. And that's how you know. So first it's like, oh, I'm different. And then you know you're an entrepreneur when you have no problem. Just didn't even think about like, I should get a job and like, you know, get a house with climate control and stuff. And just learned how to make money.
That's a good definition. I think I always tell people when I've started and lost a couple businesses along the way learning. And at one period I was sleeping on my office floor and showering in the sink because I was in a, you know, in a, like a little business complex. And I was like, I'll get back on my feet. And I did, you know, it's like, and yeah, you're right. If you're willing to do the things I think that entrepreneurs are willing to do in one day, you know, the saying is true. Like it would kill everybody else or they couldn't do it. And it's definitely a different path, but it's the upside is infinite. There's no cap to what we could achieve depending on what we want to do and, you know, and how much effort and, you know, time we put into it.
That's a trade-off, right? You want the upside, you gotta deal with the potential downside. And that's what entrepreneurs have is they're willing to face that risk of sleeping on the floor in order to, you know, earn the upside.
Yep. And, one thing that you shared when you shot over a couple notes about this, you talked about your 3 C's of clarity, certainty, and collapsing time. And I'd love to dig into that more because I think a lot of people talk about clarity, but maybe don't know what it is. Certainty and collapsing time is definitely a couple layers deeper. So what does that mean to you and how has that helped you be successful?
Yeah. So there's an operating system that we all have, entrepreneurs in particular, where there's a certain kind of person. It's not something I'm suggesting. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying you should aspire to be this because we're hardwired, we're broken, you know, like Elon Musk, you don't do that unless you're broken. But there's a certain thing that this type of person does and it leads to repeat success. And so everybody's trying to figure out what are these things? And just recently, probably over the last year, we sat back and said, okay, let's codify what this is. And are there commonalities between industries and personalities and stuff? And what is everybody trying to do? What is the question when they come to you or they come to me or they come to somebody and they say, hey, I want to lose weight. Hey, I want to make more money. Hey, like, are these all really different questions? And the answer is not really. Everybody's asking some version of, am I going to get there and am I going to be okay? Right? It's some version of, I want to make more money because I'm not sure I'm going to be okay. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pay for my kids' college, right? So this is all like tip of the iceberg stuff. This is what they're asking, but what do they really want? And there's like some core, Dan Nicholson calls them the priorities, core priorities, preference priorities. And that's why cookie cutter programs don't work. Like if you can't, everybody has different preference priorities, right?
Yeah.
So you say, am I going to be okay? And I say, am I going to be okay? We're asking two different questions. So, okay, let's go a layer deeper and figure that out. And then we're going to swap over to marketing because that's the world we live in. And there's a lot of rhetoric. People will pay the most for speed, sell speed, sell speed, sell speed, right? Get there faster. So that's the highest. That's the thing we value the most is speed. So that's collapsing time. Getting from point A to point B as fast as possible. You cannot collapse time and you can't help other people collapse time unless we have certainty over the path forward. So you think like, I'll use Google Maps as an example a lot, but okay, you want to get from point A to point B as fast as possible. Cool. You need the directions. You need to know that those directions are accurate. Like, you know, so Google Maps is updating in real time. So we're pretty confident that as we follow Google Maps, we're good. So like Google Maps is the certainty piece, right? Collapsing time would be how fast you choose to drive.
Yeah.
Right. You can't really with confidence drive faster if you don't have the certainty. So what we really want is collapse time, but there's a certainty piece that we need first. What is the most efficient path forward? Do I want to take the scenic view? Do I want to take the view with no pay road, like pay tolls, like preference based?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot that goes into that where like you want to retire your wife in 10 years and you're on track to do it in 7. Mm-hmm. Cool. Then you can take the scenic, route if you want. You don't necessarily have to collapse time. So there's this certainty piece. What's the most efficient path? That's what most people are selling, right? They're selling the certainty piece. Come into my program and I'm going to get you from A to B.
Yeah.
The problem is, and this is why most programs fail, so most people fail. This is why programs seem to work for everybody else, but they don't work for us. We can't have certainty without clarity. Now, people talk about it all the time, but everybody skips this, right? Back to Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
It only works. You only have certainty if you are certain that it's starting you where you're at and it's taking you where you want to go.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there's all these preferences too. So the question's not, do you want to make 7 figures? In my opinion, it's really like, what are we trying to accomplish? What is point B? What does that life look like? You want to make sure your wife never has to work again. You want to be home for dinner as long as your kids are in high school and you want a second home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the clarity piece is where you're at. I have this much cash in the bank. I'm making this much. There's this much volatility in my business and this is how much time I have. And this is what I want. I want a second mortgage. You know, I want a second home. I want to retire my wife, yada, yada, yada. So the most efficient path forward, in my opinion, has to consider all of these things. It's possible that building a funnel and a high ticket offer and taking sales calls would increase your revenue quite a bit, but get you further away from spending time at home with your kids. So that's not, we're not getting that clarity piece to really figure out what the most efficient path forward is. It also turns out people will pay good money for clarity, decent money for clarity, you know, just confidence they can move forward. They will pay more for certainty and they will pay the most for collapsing time. Gotcha. I have found the deliverable doesn't really matter that much. You could have the same deliverable all the way through phone calls, two phone calls for clarity, a year of phone calls for certainty, And then once you have full certainty that we're going to get there in the timeline you think is appropriate, like, look, on paper, if things continue, you're going to reach all your goals in the timeline you determined, and boom. But at this level of service, we can collapse that down from 10 years to 7 years. And when they can see it and they have certainty, they will pay almost unlimited amount of money for 3 years, but only if they have the certainty, right? So we're always trying to figure out where people are. You're the clarity piece. People come on, you know, listen to Clubhouse or phone calls, and we got to figure out, like, are you in a clarity piece? Because you got to hire somebody. You got to work with somebody to help you with the clarity.
Yeah.
Do you have the clarity and the certainty piece of the technicians? Right. You know what needs to get done. You just got to hire the right people to do it.
Yeah.
And the collapsing time piece is obviously complicated. That's, in order to collapse time, you got to take on risk, which means you need somebody to hedge the risk. That's like advanced accounting and stuff like that. But those, the three C's are really important, because it, for a consumer and a marketer or a company or a brand, because if you're trying to collapse time for yourself or for someone else, and they don't have certainty on the path, they will not succeed, right? Yeah. They're going to start and stop and start and stop and have questions. And then they're not going to get the success that you promised them. So it's really important that clarity precedes certainty, and certainty precedes collapsing time. And we've been working really hard on helping people understand kind of where they're at as a consumer, and also as a business, right? How do we articulate this, help people figure out where they're at, and then deliver the thing that they know how to appreciate? Mm-hmm. Right? You can't appreciate the certainty without the clarity, and so on and so forth.
That's excellent and very easy to understand. I think people overcomplicate that, and you're right. Like, I think I know I've definitely missed steps, and sometimes I've just fallen into it and it works. Mm-hmm. Looking back and go, oh, that's why it worked. But I think that I often, when I'm in ideation mode, or like being entrepreneurial and come up with ideas, try things, risk things, I don't know if I've always established a foundation of clarity. That's probably where I can tell why it's the first one, because that's where I think I've struggled the most over the years.
My guess is, and this is why I said some people didn't answer, my guess is, and this is why I built this for me and my partners, is you've actually done it, right? Because you're an entrepreneur, and we have this risk tolerance, mm-hmm. We naturally go through this clarity, certainty, like, and then you go, oh, I get it. We can make this happen faster. Mm-hmm. I built this framework so that I can identify faster where I'm at, so I can condense that clarity phase. But that's a lot of what we do, is kind of figure out, like, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I want to be. And sure. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But our clients and our customers and what, yeah, they're not okay with it. They don't have the same risk tolerance.
That's true. Yeah. And I'm pretty comfortable being uncomfortable. It doesn't bother me much. So it doesn't matter what stage I'm in business. I can, like, well, whatever happens, I can sort it out and figure out and land on my feet or not, and still get on my feet again.
And you have a couple companies, at least one that I know of. And the difficulty is, even if you're consulting with somebody at a high level, right? And one, we can't tell them, like, it's cool, just, like, you know, fall down and get back up. Like, that's not what they pay for. Right. And two, sometimes we can see it. We have clarity for them, but we don't stop. And I make an event out of the whole clarity piece. Mm-hmm. You see this? No. All right. Well, what about the, and I, like, I'll spend 90, 100, 500 minutes. Like, I'll spend 6 hours, which most service providers skip because they can see it. And they're just like, just trust me, I can see it. And it's not fair to the client or your partners or consumers or the people watching your videos to just ask them to trust you and not help them see the clarity that they're going to need to buy into the certainty piece, right? So it's really about helping. We're going to do it naturally and we're going to see it for people, but people like us all have to stop and say, okay, let's take a day and help them see what we see, so that the next step is nice and smooth. We don't do that. We just go straight into, like, consulting, right?
Right. That's really wise, because yeah, there's definitely times I've been super frustrated of why didn't they get it, why don't they see it, or I've made what I thought was a clear explanation of the risk or what I would avoid doing, and then they just don't listen, and then it doesn't work out, surprise surprise, because they don't understand. And that's definitely an area where I can serve at a much higher level, saying we're going to pause in a sense at this step until we're crystal clear. That's really good advice.
Here's a trick I'm going to tell you, because I teach this and I just want the audience to hear too. The way you can make an event out of it took me a long time to back into this, because it's that didn't make a lot of sense, because people do free strategy sessions, is I charge for that diagnostic process. Mm-hmm. I'm all the way up to $12,000 for 2 phone calls where we do this, but it started at like $397. Because mm-hmm. like people, you know, I do strategy sessions for free. But you get so good at, you charge for it, and a few things happens. One, you're not as attached to the sale because you're getting paid for your time.
Yeah.
Two, there's a little bit of pressure that this piece in and of itself, this clarity piece, is worth the price that you pay. So you really go all in, and you know.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, because they pay for this piece here, they now value your intellectual property and your plan. They're not paying you hourly or whatever. And you lay out the plan step by step. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Here's all the things that you're going to need. Here's all the things you don't need. You're going to want to pay for this stuff. Don't. There you go. Just paid for this time. You're welcome. You know? And what happens is they just go, okay, can you do this for me?
Yep.
So, because they see it and there's no sale anymore. What I do is I charge for it, and I try to make it as high price as possible. Don't care about the money as much, because we all know the money's going to come on the back end. Right. it's
valued by your client then, which is important.
Yep. And I have this thing where like I never want anybody to be like, what do they just pay for? So if you're paying $5,000 or $12,000, I'm going to make that in and of itself a like full-blown product.
Right.
So what most people do is a free strategy session, I've turned into a full-blown product that people refer to. Like there's like, you have to go do that thing. And we can, through that process, we can show them, look, we just saved you $100,000 in mistakes, and you can show the value.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty cool.
That's good to hear, and good confirmation, because over the last 2 years, I've started moving that direction. We're not at that price point, but we're almost halfway there. And man, we get better clients. They get better results. It's easier to make the little pivots or adjustments over the years of working together, because we foundationally agreed on where we were going. And that's definitely wise advice. I always tell people, if you're not charging your clients or not charging them enough, you're screwing them. Like, that's all that's happening, is you're unintentionally screwing them if they don't really value it and show up in a way that's going to help them get value out of the time spent.
And the second, and we talked about touch on this a little bit, but the second thing, there's the price point and there's the assumptions. It doesn't matter how much somebody pays you. I mean, maybe to some extent, like you might give Jay Abraham $120,000 and, you know, you jump through a million hoops to get there. But really, anytime you think to yourself, God, why don't they see it? Why don't they just trust me? Like, we got to introspect a little bit and say, like, well, how am I not being clear? Like, it's not fair to just ask people to trust you. But how much they pay you, because they're still like, just take the time to let them see it. It'll save you so much more time later on.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when I started out consulting or building things, or, you know, 15, 20 years ago now, and I didn't take time to explain anything, it just all backfires. It's super expensive. You have messy relationships at best, or people that hate you in the end. Mm-hmm. You don't do the work. And yeah, that's what I enjoy in our interactions. But I always tell my team, like, it's 100% our responsibility to deliver communication. So that means, in order for somebody to understand, you know, we have to do all the work, and we have to be willing to do all the work to make sure that they have the opportunity to understand and clearly understand what we're trying to communicate. And that's serving at the highest level, which I think is how you actually grow and scale and, you know, build businesses like you have. I mean, that's definitely the answer of putting the work in, because the communication is the hardest part, I think.
Yep. And it's the part, no judgment because everybody has their own thing, but it's the part that like most coaching programs, and it's the part they try to skip.
Yeah.
Like you look at suggestions on how to scale your business, and it's some version of avoid conversation at all cost, right? Yeah. Put them in group, sell them this, sell them like just anything, but talk to people. And in my experience personally, the things that made me the most money and made offers the most scalable, it's counterintuitive because it's actually taking the time to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's again, just my experience. But anytime I see somebody say, you know, just do this, and I translate it as, you know, avoid all conversation. It's very likely to blow up because you avoid the conversation. Assumptions are made, you know, everybody's on a different page. Everything blows up and everybody's mad at each other.
Yeah.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah. And it's the deeper I get into marketing and the more we do, the more I just keep coming back to like foundational principles of if you really want to scale your marketing, then you need to have more conversations with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Document what you learn, and you just need to continually have more and more conversations, because if you're really in their head and you understand them inside and out, it's really easy to make offers. It's really easy to serve them and help them, and you can offer the right product the right way, you know, right price point, right packaging. And you're right, in the internet marketing age that we've experienced and grown up through, it's like everybody thinks it's a click of a button or, you know, write some fancy copy, but you can't write the right copy if you don't know who you're writing to. And yep. The gratification of technology misleads us to think that we can shortcut, you know, having deep, long, thorough, and multiple conversations about things. And what you said earlier, you know, I love too. I did a video on this recently because I was irritated about what I was seeing out there of like the number one marketing channel you need to develop is providing an amazing client experience, providing an amazing product. And like you just shared earlier, you didn't market your gym in the beginning. You just made it amazing for the people that came. And then there was a wait list and the price went up and everything. You didn't have to run Facebook ads to create that, you know?
Yep.
And that's what people miss, is like creating an amazing client experience, creating really an amazing product comes down to, you know, really talking to your clients.
Yeah, I think so. There's a preference in there, right? Like here's what makes it easier for me. Because I get the allure of internet marketing and I get the water faucet of leads, but if we can get clear on that clarity piece, so all the way back to the gym, something I did naturally that I can kind of retroactively fit in the framework. What I wanted at the time, my priority was to spend more time with a particular kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
So all the behaviors, all the business, because in my opinion, your business exists to get you the life that you want. Some people think their life exists to grow their business. I'd like to go the other way.
Yeah.
So what are things I can do to close the gap between where I'm at, where I want to be, talking to more fluent people? Right? It never about how do I make more money or how do I, and that goes to what is the most efficient way to get 10 hours a week back?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe making more money. It's likely the things you do to make more money are going to not do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe it's having an office closer to home. And we just got to think about like, what are we actually trying to solve? And all the price increases and the exclusivity and all this stuff, it happens at the appropriate time because it's the thing that's going to get you closer to what you want.
Yeah.
Not because somebody said, raise your price.
Yeah.
We have no idea if they're getting closer or further away. We just know it's a thing somebody told us to do. So again, that clarity piece is preference driven, and preference drives strategy. So if we really know what we're trying to get closer to, those things just happen. Like, all right, well, in order to do this, then I have to be more exclusive. It might be the opposite. In order to have more people in this group so that, you know, I get more data so I can sell the data to somebody else, I'd have to lower the price. So it's really like, what are we trying to accomplish? And then all the pricing and the packaging and the structure can start to work itself out. Yeah. We're not guessing. We're not just following somebody's random advice.
That randomly doesn't work most of the time.
Correct. Yep. And even if it does, it does. It works. A lot of the stuff out there works for somebody's current position and destination.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like if I went to MapQuest and I entered a random destination and a random location, like it works for somebody that is where is there and wants to go there. But unless your starting place and destination are the same, then it won't quote unquote work. Right. It's the whole clarity and preference piece that people just don't take the time.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's excellent. I know you shared, if people want to kind of get in contact with you, get to know you better, they can go to bumpersbook.com, which I'll put in the show notes here. Can you tell us a little bit about what's in the book? I didn't know you had a book until we decided to set this up, which I'm going to check, get a copy of it. Tell me more about what's in there. I'm interested.
You can also go to nickpetersonbook.com if you prefer to order from Amazon. A lot of people are more ordering off Amazon, and I don't really care if you're in my funnel or not. It's like the foundation of the clarity piece,
mm-hmm.
which is like there's this concept again from Dan Nicholson where, I used to talk about this all the time, but he has better language. Never water the weeds, right? So it's like you want a beautiful garden, and you keep pulling the weeds, but then you keep watering them. And we do a lot of that stuff in our life where we're like, we keep doing things that get us further away from what we want. And there's also this idea of we don't appreciate when bad things don't happen. So it's called bumpers, like bumpers in a bowling alley. Like, how do we stay out of the gutter? Because a lot of people, it's like yo-yo dieters, right? We celebrate all of our, you might have a friend that loses 50 pounds and like, good for them. They're no longer pre-diabetic. Like, it's awesome when we celebrate them. But we don't celebrate any of our friends that never gained the 50 pounds to begin with. Right. So there's actually an incentive, like in society, there's an incentive, excuse my language, to fuck up and then do better because you get rewarded for that. You never get rewarded for not messing up. And we find that especially high performing people that, want to make progress. The fastest way to make progress is like dig a hole and then dig yourself back out. Right. And digging back out is the progress. And so it's like, what if we took all those resources we're using to dig the hole and dig out and just put them in the right direction? So it's not about business. I have some anecdotes about business. It's mostly about our personal life and figuring out what makes us happy, what do we want, and structuring it so that we don't do the things that get us further away from what we want. So it's again, bumpers, like staying out of the gutter. It was great. I wrote it on a Saturday. I wrote it the day. My business partner found it. He's like, this is good. Can I share this? And I was like, sure. So he printed it off at my next private client event. He handed it out to everybody. And then my COO took it and put it on Amazon. And then we sold a whole, like it just sold a whole bunch. Like my clients were ordering it for their clients and stuff like that. And so I just rewrote it because it still had typos and everything in the first round. It's been unexpected.
Very cool. Well, we'll definitely check that out. And I really appreciate you spending time with us today, Nick. I think you have a lot of wisdom for entrepreneurs, obviously, but everybody in life, like really figure out where you want to go and then, make decisions around that. So I appreciate you spending the time here and we'll definitely have you back again soon, right?
Yeah, appreciate that. Looking forward.
This show is brought to you by Today's Business Leaders. Learn more at our website, todaysbusinessleaders.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today.